am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news about salvation through Messiah Jesus, the Lord Yeshua, because this message is the power of God to bring salvation to everyone who believes the message, and salvation from the real and deadly forces of Satan, sin, and death is our greatest need. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God to bring salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jewish people and then to the Gentiles. Shalom. This is Rabbi Loren coming to you live via Skype from the studios of Congregation Shema Yisrael with Jesus Made Me Kosher. Fit, clean, right with God. Well, today I want to talk about Chochmah, which means wisdom. And we have an entire book of the Bible devoted to Chochmah, wisdom, and that's the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is about wisdom. It isn't enough to have just knowledge or information about things. We also need Chochmah, wisdom, which is the ability to use that knowledge in the right way. Wisdom comes from applying knowledge in such a way that you live according to God's wise principles that He has built into this universe. Wisdom is very, very beneficial. It does so much good for us. It results in divine favor and blessing and success in this life, and ultimately eternal success in the life to come. We want more and more wisdom. We want to be wise men and women. Now, foolishness is the opposite of wisdom. But foolishness isn't the same thing as being stupid. A person can be very intelligent, have a PhD from one of our most prestigious academic institutions, and still be foolish. And you know what? Most are. Foolishness is the opposite of wisdom and is ignoring God's wise principles that He has designed into the universe. And foolishness results in damage and harm and loss and maybe even eternal loss. We don't want to be foolish men and women. Now, if you believe in the three-in-one God of Israel and read the Bible, you have some wisdom. But it doesn't mean that you have wisdom in every area of life. The book of Proverbs is designed to help us acquire the wisdom we need to make good decisions in the various areas of life in a fallen and complex world. We do live in a fallen world. It is dangerous. It is confusing. It is chaotic. It is deceiving. The only way we can make it successfully through this dark and deadly world and enter God's real and wonderful and eternal world is to know the three-in-one God of Israel and transfer our loyalties to the three-in-one God of Israel. Good doctrine, sound theology are very, very important. But this part of Proverbs, chapter 30, verses 7 through 14 that I want to cover today, teaches us that along with good doctrine and sound theology, we must add good character and high ethics and biblical morals. Wise Augur, who wrote Proverbs 30, verses 7 through 14, understood that good character and biblical morality and high ethics must go with knowledge, with spiritual information, with good doctrine and sound theology. So, in verse 7, he prays for two things related to good character and morality. Here's his prayer. Two things I asked of you, referring to God, two things I asked of you, do not refuse me before I die. And here's the first thing Augur asked the Lord. Keep deception and lies far from me. Keep deception and lies far from me. God is a God of truth. God never deceives. He never distorts the truth. He never tells a lie. On the other hand, fallen human beings have been corrupted in our nature, and we find it very easy to lie. Deceiving others comes naturally to us. But the God of truth, who loves truth and only speaks truth, he hates lying with a passion. Lying is an abomination to him. In fact, he will not allow liars and deceivers to coexist with him. Lying is among the sins that are mentioned in the sin lists in the New Testament. There are several passages where various bad sins are listed, and lying is in those sin lists. Sins that are very serious, sins that will keep a person out of heaven. The God of truth loves truth and hates lying. Augur understood the importance of not lying, and so his first prayer was that he would be a person of truthfulness, that he would exhibit good character when it comes to speaking the truth. Keep deception and lies far from me. Praying to be honest, praying to be truthful is a great prayer for all of us to be praying for ourselves, for our families, for our children. You know, with so little fear of God in our society today, most people routinely lie and think nothing of it. They assume that there's no consequences for lying. After all, lying can get them what they want. If they've done something wrong and are in trouble, they assume that a lie can protect them from the consequences of the truth coming into the light, and so they readily lie. While lying may work, it's still a very serious moral failing and greatly displeases the God of truth. Keep deception and lies far from me. That's prayer number one. Prayer number two. Here's the second thing that Augur asked God for. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion, so that I not be full and deny you and say, who is Adonai? Who's the Lord? Or that I not be in want and steal and profane the name of my God. That's prayer number two. Augur wanted the right balance of material possessions. He didn't want too much because he knew something that the wicked, corrupt prosperity teachers of today don't know, that too much wealth gives people the false impression that they have arrived, that they're successful, that they're okay, that all is well, when very likely all is far from being well with them. You see, too much wealth causes human beings to start acting independently of God. They no longer sense their need for God, and they begin to stray farther and farther from their Creator. And that's really bad. The reality is that we are totally dependent on God every nanosecond, which is a really small amount of time. The Lord created us. The Lord sustains us. The Lord cares for us. The Lord provides for us. He wants to save us. He wants to reconcile us to himself, to redeem us. He wants to help us end our rebellion against him so that we can live with him forever and ever and ever. The more we understand our total dependence on God and get close to God and stay close to God and humble ourselves and submit ourselves to his will and pray to him and seek him and are led by him, the better off we will be. We don't want prosperity, too much material things interfering with our understanding of our continual dependency on God. So Augur prayed, give me neither poverty nor riches. feed me with the food that is my portion, so that I not be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or that I not be in want and steal and profane the name of my God. This tendency to get farther from God during times of prosperity is true for individuals, and it's also true for entire nations. It was in times of national prosperity that Israel became proud and abandoned the Lord, which eventually led to shame and defeat for the Jewish people. So Augur wanted to meet his needs. He wanted enough to have his needs met. He wanted to learn how to be content. He didn't want to be greedy and materialistic and discontent and have too much things, unlike the corrupt prosperity teachers of today, who by ignoring this wisdom are doing exactly what Augur warned us about, denying God. Augur didn't want to have too much and be deluded by the deceptiveness of wealth, nor did he want too little so that he would have to resort to stealing to survive, because this wise individual knew that just as God hates lying, he also hates stealing. The nature of God is to give, not to take. God is a giver, not a taker. God so loved the world that he gave, giving. That's his nature. God would never steal. He would never take something that didn't belong to him. And neither should we. Stealing is wrong. Stealing offends the nature of God. When human beings steal, they dishonor the one in whose image they have been made. And Augur didn't want to do that. He wanted to honor God with his life, not dishonor him. He wanted to honor his creator by being a person of godly character and high ethical standards. And so should we. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is my portion, so that I not be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or that I not be in want and steal and profane the name of my God. If I can compare this proverb to another truth given by Messiah Jesus, not only is blessed are the poor true, particularly when contrasted to blessed are the rich, but in a sense so is blessed are the middle class. Give me neither riches nor poverty. So in a sense, blessed are the middle class. Sadly, within the next couple of years, I think that it is going to be increasingly difficult for many to remain in the middle class in the United States. Why? Well, our nation has followed the example of ancient Israel in many ways. And when we were full and prosperous, like ancient Israel was full and prosperous, we've done the same thing. We've wound up denying the Lord as a nation. And I think that the material blessings, the prosperity that has flowed from our former faithfulness will be removed. And in many ways, they're already being removed. Next, we have other issues related to ethical conduct and good character. The first one has to do with not taking advantage of those who are in a position of less power than we have. Verse 10 from Proverbs 30. Do not slander a slave to his master, or he will curse you, and you will be found guilty. Let's say you were in a position of authority and you didn't like a particular slave. Or in our case, in our day, let's say the slave is now an employee. It's relatively easy to say something nasty or false about the employee to his supervisor and get the employee in trouble. You're in a position of authority. He's in a position of weakness, and you have the power to make his life miserable. Proverbs says, don't do that. Don't take advantage of the authority, the position that God has given you. Use your power, use your position, use your authority for good, to help others, not to harm them. So be a giver, not a taker, not only in regard to material things, but in regard to positional things. Treat everybody fairly, honestly, graciously, no matter what rung on the economic or social ladders of life they are standing on. If you don't, if you take advantage of a person's weakness, he will curse you. And God, who created all human beings, and who is fair, and who often takes the side of the underdog, will listen to his prayers for justice and his complaint against you, and you will be found guilty, and you will be the one who really gets in trouble. This is Rabbi Lauren. You're listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher, and we're talking about the importance of ethics and good character and biblical morality from Proverbs chapter 30. Next are four things related to morality and good character, four being the right kind of person issues. Verse 11. There's a kind of man who curses his father and does not bless his mother. Don't be that kind of person, because that kind of person who curses his parents violates some of the most basic divine principles. God created the family. God created the family structure. The Lord made us male and female so that we could come together, marry, produce other human beings who have the potential to live forever. That's really amazing. Parents are able to create a human life which is able to be a person made in the image of God and able to become an eternal son or daughter of God and rule the new heavens and the new earth and the new Jerusalem with God. That's an incredible thing. Parents can not only create children, but they have the responsibility to sustain their children like God sustains us and teach their children like God teaches us. In a sense, parents function in the role of God for their children when they are minors. That position is to be respected, even if the parents fall short of perfection, which all do. No parent is perfect. Just as adults are to honor God and will be punished for cursing God, so children will suffer for not honoring their parents who are put in their place by God and actually represent God. So don't be that kind of person who curses his parents, who treats them badly, even if they have disappointed you. Verse 12, there's a kind who is pure in his own eyes, yet is not washed from his filthiness. Don't be the kind of person who is washed on the outside but is impure on the inside. Don't be a person who thinks he is moral, who presumes he's good when he falls short in so many ways. Be the kind of person who is humble and aware of his shortcomings, who realizes he often fails in thought, in word, in deed, who doesn't always do what he should do and often does do what he shouldn't do. Now, this is not just a warning for religious people like some of the ancient Pharisees, but it is also for today's secular humanist and the atheist and the agnostic who think they know, who think they understand, who have some standards of their own but don't even live according to their own standards, who fall short of their own standards. Don't be that kind who is pure in his own eyes, yet is not washed from his filthiness. Humble yourself. Think about your failures, your inadequacies, your hypocrisies. Blessed are the poor in spirit, not the rich in spirit. And blessed are those who understand that they are not pure, because then they come to the cleansing that is only provided by the three-in-one God. Verse 13, there is a kind, oh, how lofty are his eyes, and his eyelids are raised in arrogance. Our greatest problem, the root of all of our problems, is that we have joined the rebellion of the fallen angels. We are in rebellion against the High King and his son, King Yeshua. We refuse to end our rebellion and let God be God. We refuse to serve the King and Creator. That's what the Bible calls pride. It's that attitude of arrogance, that attitude of arrogant independence from God. It's the creature wanting to call the shots, to not submit to the Creator. It's the creature thinking more highly of himself than he should. And that arrogance towards God spills over and affects our attitudes towards other human beings. We think that we are more important than everyone else. We think more highly of ourselves than we should, and we think less of others than we should. To counteract this propensity toward lofty-eyed arrogance, we want to cultivate an attitude of humility toward God and toward other human beings. We want to cultivate thoughts that God is the creator and we are the creature, that we are very small compared to this great God, that he has the right to give us commands and we have the obligation to carry out those commands, that the creator commands us not to think too highly of ourselves and to think more highly of our fellow human beings who are made in his image and have great worth and potential. Don't be the kind of person who has lofty eyes and eyelids that are raised in arrogance. It's dangerous because it indicates that you are still in rebellion against God. Finally, verse 14. There's a kind of man whose teeth are like swords and his jaw teeth like knives to devour the afflicted from the earth and the needy from among men. Human beings are fallen creatures, and we enter this world with a fallen, corrupt nature. And we are selfish and we are greedy. We tend to be uncaring and materialistic. We must not use unethical behavior, lies and cheating and violence to enrich ourselves at the expense of others, like so many do. We don't want to be that kind of man or that kind of woman. We want to become like God. We want a new nature that's the result of salvation and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. A nature that wants to be selfless, not selfish, generous, a giver, not a taker. We want to be a helper, not a harmer of humanity. So to summarize this part of Proverbs, yes, we need knowledge. We need information about the three-in-one God and the way of salvation. We need sound doctrine. We need good theology. But we also need biblical ethics and morality and good character. They go together. Spiritual knowledge and information, but biblical ethics, good character, and morality. And it's my prayer that everyone who is listening to me right now on Jesus Made Me Kosher, that the Lord may enable us to have it all, spiritual knowledge and good character. Well, you've been listening to Rabbi Lauren. This is Jesus Made Me Kosher. We want to invite you to join us on Saturday mornings at 10:30 at the facilities of Bloomfield Hills Baptist Church. We are a unique congregation of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who worship the three-in-one God of Israel. And we would love to have you check out our unique kind of atmosphere where we honor the Jewish heritage, but we include the knowledge of the Brit Chadashah, the New Testament scriptures. I tell people that we have the best of both worlds. And you might want to check out our website, which is shema.com, for some great articles and information. And this is, again, Rabbi Lauren wishing all of us listening today, shalom, shalom.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.